John chapter 11 and verses 1-16. Thank you.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Thank you, Caroline. Andy's going to come up and preach. Let me pray as he comes to do that. Lord, thank you so much for your word that we have just heard read. And we thank you for Andy coming to preach it for us now. Please, would you open each of our hearts that what we might see Jesus, that we might believe in him and be changed as your spirit works in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Stuart, and thank you, Caroline, for the first reading. What I'm going to do is talk through this last of the miracles of Jesus that we're going to be looking at. But because the events cover almost all of chapter 11 of John's Gospel, I've broken the reading into 3 chunks. So I'm going to talk for a little bit after each of the readings. So in a few moments, Keith will come and read the middle part of the passage, and then Stuart will end the story where Jesus raises Lazarus from death. But before I begin, let me pray as well. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these miracles of Jesus. Help us to hear you speaking to us through them. And I pray that you'll help me to speak faithfully from your scripture this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think I've asked this question before. When you think about Jesus, what one word springs to mind? Any thoughts? What one word springs to mind when you think about Jesus? Oh, you're going to be a tough crowd this morning, aren't you? Saviour, thank you. Anything else? Oh, yeah.
Holy.
Sorry?
Holy.
Holy. Oh, another one here. Yes.
Peaceful.
Faithful. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yes, Liz.
Compassion.
Compassion. Nick. Love.
Son of God,
that's 3 words. But you're right, he is the Son of God. When I was reading that passage that Caroline read to us a few minutes ago, a different word came to my mind, and that was friend. Did you notice that Jesus has got friends? He was told by 2 of his friends, Mary and Martha, that their brother, who was another friend of Jesus, was ill. And they were dear friends. It says that. They were dear friends. So Jesus had friends, and other people were friends with Jesus. And Mary and Martha did what friends do. They called to their friend and said, "We need help." But did you notice, when they asked Jesus for help, they didn't say, "And can you come and do this?" They just presented their need to Jesus. They said, "Your friend Lazarus is ill." And that could be a model for our prayers, couldn't it? I don't know what your prayers are like. Sometimes mine go a bit like this. Dear God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll read my Bible a bit more every day. And sometimes they go a bit like this. Oh God, I really do need help today. And if you will help me, I'll pray. I'll pray every day, even when I'm really, really busy. So please do this for me. There's a danger sometimes that in our prayers, we can treat God a bit like a heavenly vending machine, isn't there? We put in our prayer request and we expect the answer to pop out just like that, just the way we want it to. But Mary and Martha show us a different way. They just present their need to Jesus and wait to see what he's going to do. They let Jesus take charge. But what does he do next? He waits for 2 days. Mary and Martha have told him that Lazarus is sick, and Jesus waits another 2 days. We don't know why he waited. John doesn't tell us. Perhaps he still had some teaching to do where he was. Perhaps there were other people who needed to be healed. We don't know. But after 2 days, we're told that Jesus does go to Lazarus. But his disciples say, "Why are you going? The Jews there tried to stone you a few days ago. Are you seriously going to go back there?" But Jesus does go. So the key thing to remember from this first part of the passage is that Jesus had friends, and he went to his friends when they called on him. Not necessarily when they wanted him to, but he did go to his friends, even though the cost to him might be quite high. He was in danger of being stoned. But Jesus went when his friends called upon him. Keith, could we have the second part of the reading now, please?
Second part of the reading is taken from John again, and it starts at verse 17. And notice it's Martha rather than Mary that goes. And notice also she makes that great declaration about Jesus being the Messiah. The second part is Jesus shows he's not just the Lord of life and healing, but is the Lord over death as well. So I'm going to read 17 to 27 and then 38 to 44. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come out to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," she said to Jesus, "if you'd been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Starting again at verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher's here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?"
Thank you, Keith. So, Keith's already given you some of the teaching points from that passage in his introduction to it. I'm going to try and tease out something slightly different. Did you notice that Mary and Martha, they both said the same thing to Jesus? They both said, "Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." But Jesus doesn't respond to them in the same way, does he? He approaches them differently. And I think it's for this reason. Martha, I think, was a very practical person. She organised things. She sorted things out. And if you read John chapter 12, you'll see that. Whereas Mary, she seems less practical. She's more of a people person. So Jesus responded to them differently because they had different needs. I think Martha needed to understand why things had happened, and Mary wanted to be comforted. So Jesus met those two ladies and he gave them what they needed. He treated them as individuals. And what did he say to Martha? He said in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives in me will never die." Do you believe this? What was Jesus saying about there? Because clearly people do die. So what Jesus was really talking about when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life," is that he gives spiritual life, real life, life the way it was meant to be. And what he's saying is, even though you die, if you've got spiritual life, you will carry on living with God in heaven. And he's saying, once you've got that spiritual life will never die. Your faith will continue. It will hold you secure. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he said, "Do you believe that to Martha?" And Martha responded positively. And Jesus is asking the same question of each one of us. Do we believe, do we really believe that he is the resurrection and the life, and that we can have true spiritual life through Jesus? If we do, we should reply the way that Martha did. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." That's a great affirmation, isn't it? Martha was so excited by what she had just been told. She went and met her sister Mary and said, "The Master wants to see you too." And Mary goes and finds Jesus. But Jesus treats Mary differently. Mary is still really upset. She's still mourning for her brother who she loved. And she was weeping. And the mourners who came with Mary, they were distressed too. They were weeping as well. Jesus felt their distress. And we're told that Jesus wept as well. Now, some people might feel troubled or disturbed by the fact that Jesus was crying. He was weeping. But we shouldn't be disturbed by that. We should be comforted by it. What it does is it tells us that Jesus understands our situation. He understands our grief. He understands what we're feeling. But more than that, when Jesus was weeping, we were told he was deeply troubled, deeply moved. Jesus would have been aware that things weren't working out for mankind as a whole the way they were supposed to. We weren't supposed to die. When God made heaven and earth, after the 6 days of creation, he looked at what he saw and it was very good. We were supposed to live there with God forever. But sin entered the world and spoiled things, and death came into the world. So when Jesus was deeply moved, he was grieving for all of that, as well as for the death of his friend Lazarus. So Jesus wept. He understands our situation. So the thing I want you to remember from this is, before this story is about the story of the raising of Lazarus, it's a story about how Jesus comes to meet our needs.
When his friends called upon him, Jesus went, even though the cost might have been high. When Jesus' friends called upon him, he met them where they were. He gave them the comfort and the explanations and the faith that they needed. Jesus meets us where we are. So Stuart, could I ask you to read the final few verses, please?
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish."
Thank you, Stuart. So Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and ever practical, he asks for the stone to be removed. But Martha is also a very practical person. She says, "Lord, do you really want to do that? I mean, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days now. It's going to be pretty smelly in there." Now, I can relate to that. Jenny and I were doing some gardening a few days ago, and I said I was going to stop working where I was because there was a terrible smell. And I thought the smell came from some stagnant water, but Jenny looked around and there was a dead blackbird there. It hadn't been there 4 days, I'm sure of that because I've been working there a couple of days earlier, but the smell was terrible. So I know exactly what Martha meant when she said, "Are you sure you want to move that stone? The smell will be terrible." But Jesus isn't concerned about the smell. He's concerned about God's glory. And he prays and he says, "I'm praying not for anything in particular, other than I want these people here to believe that you've sent me here to do your work." So he's praying to encourage other people. And that's one of the reasons that we should pray as well, to encourage one another. So Jesus prayed, and then he called out in a loud voice to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out!" And this is the most amazing miracle, isn't it? Because Lazarus does. He walks out. He's still wrapped in his grave clothes, but he walks out. I've often said before, we sometimes lose our wonder at the miracles of Jesus. We've read them so many times, we take them for granted. But you think about them again. When a blind man, a man blind from birth, is healed by Jesus, not only can he see, but the miracle is so complete that he can recognize things that he's never seen before. He knows what they are. Jesus' miracle is absolutely perfect. When he healed the lame man, the man who'd never been able to walk, he got up immediately. He didn't need to learn how to walk like children do. He didn't need to grow the muscle strength. He was healed completely. And so it is with Lazarus. When Lazarus walked out of the tomb, there wasn't a dreadful smell. God had taken care of that. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was able to walk by himself and he was able to enjoy life again. And we know that he did. If you read chapter 12 of John's Gospel, Jesus later on went and had dinner with Lazarus. So the healing, the raising of Lazarus was a complete miracle. We mustn't lose our wonder at what God does. Now, as we've been looking through these miracles of Jesus, we've often asked the question, why did Jesus perform this miracle? Well, John helpfully tells us in his prayer, Jesus says he performed the miracle so that people would believe. Earlier on, when he was talking to his disciples, in verse 4, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So another part of the reason why Jesus performed this miracle is so that God would be glorified and people would come to understand that Jesus was God's Son and he would be glorified too. And as we've already heard, Jesus says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will have true spiritual life. So the final part of the reason Jesus performed the miracle was to show people that he could give them real spiritual life. But to show that he really did have authority over death, he raised Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus is Lord, even over death. Now, as I finish, I just want to reflect on something. I was speaking to a friend a few days ago, and we were talking about how faith is a gift from God. And this person said to me, but what about my daughter? She doesn't believe. That's a really difficult question to answer, isn't it? And I wish that I'd done my preparation for this talk before I was asked that question. Because if I was asked it now, I would answer that question with the same points that I've just made looking at this story. And they are, Jesus wants us to be his friend. What do friends do? Friends take their troubles, their needs, their concerns, their anxieties to Jesus. We can't go to Jesus in the same way that Mary and Martha went to Jesus, but we can take all of our troubles to Jesus in prayer. So that's the first thing that we should do. We should go to Jesus in prayer, knowing that Jesus will come to us. And when he comes to us, remember how he responded to Martha and Mary? He responded to them differently, as they needed. He responded differently to Martha, giving her an explanation, but he comforted Mary. Jesus understands what it's like for us. He's been there. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was abandoned by the rest of them. He was stoned by the people he came to teach. Jesus has experienced the same sorts of things that we have. So when we're troubled by one of our children, perhaps not having a faith, we can take that to Jesus. He understands that. And finally, remember that Jesus called to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come out. When Jesus calls, you can't resist. Lazarus was in the grave. He'd been dead for 4 days. He could not resist the call of Jesus. So keep taking your troubles to Jesus. Keep taking them to him in prayer. And pray that Jesus will call your loved ones to him, because Jesus' call is irresistible. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. Help us to put our faith in you. Help us to take our troubles to you in prayer. Help us to remember that you want to be our friend. Help us to understand that you understand our needs. You've experienced the same things that we do. So help us to take our burdens, our troubles, as well as our joys, to you in prayer. And we do ask that you will call all those who don't yet believe in you to become one of your children, to become a friend of Jesus. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.